Feel him just suck you right up in him. Now, several years ago, when we started and the musicians started coming forth, I quit playing and began the musicians take over. But they went the way of disobedience. And anytime you disobey, I have to take yours. I've talked to y'all several times about your music, made suggestive rebukes, didn't I? And you wouldn't listen. Now, I couldn't command you, because once I could have commanded you, but once I command you to do something under grace and you rebel against it, judgment strikes you. Did you know that? For many long years, I've rebuked with grace through suggestions and chiding you and joking with you to keep from you bringing to the weakening of your flesh, keep from bringing you direct confrontation with God. But when you directly rebel against him or any of his ministers, you've had it. So I'd kid you about it, coax you, rebuke you, exhort you. Rebuked you no telling how many times about that guitar and talked to you about it, and you just continually resisted it. Took it as a joke, didn't you? You would start out on it, wouldn't you, George? You'd start out on it with a zeal, and that zeal would last about sometimes a half a day. I'm not picking out, I'm just picking out George for a sample of all of you. Whoa. Listen, let's get this music now. Y'all second me. Do you know how to second it, Eddie? Won't you second it? Don't try to follow me picking until you pick it up, pick it, see? Because I'll move, my fingers be moving fast, you'll never catch up with that pick. You'll never be able to follow me with that kind of pick. I guarantee you, Eddie might follow me with his finger, but you'll never be able to follow me with that kind of pick. No, I got this pick. That's the pick he needs. Father, stand up if you will. Cheryl, come on, get your song sheet. This is my family. These are my friends. The ones who know it, the will of my Father, by faith obedient, turn from their way, and obey my Father, by grace through faith. Jesus, get in the spirit, Lee. Get your mind all in a fuddle. Go over and smite her, Cheryl. Two or three of y'all get a hold of her and smite her with a mantle. Oh, you're a real credit to the family. Your mind wandering around like a lost gosling, looking around everywhere. This is my family. These are my friends. The ones who know the will of my Father, by faith obedient, turn from their way and obey my Father, by grace through faith. Listen to Jesus, explain it to you, so that you'll know God's way that's true. Be delivered by the pure love of God and escape judgment for your love of the world. Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 46 through 50. Listen to Jesus. While he yet talked to the people, behold his mother and his brothers stood without, desiring to speak with him. As his family, then one said unto him, behold thy mother and thy brother stand without, desire to speak with thee as thy family. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers that want to see me? Here is my family all here with me. Listen what he did. And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brother, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother, the same is my sister, and my mother. In obedience of faith, to a father gone.
Our father named
him
his friend indeed.
Listen to it now, everybody listen. Oh, listen. Through
Jesus Christ,
his love and his grace,
you may
now escape
your
family and friends
by
not moving
one step
from your home.
Come out
of your
flesh
into
his love and
grace.
You are
my family.
You are
my friend.
If
you follow
all of
obedience and
faith.
But
you're my
enemy.
The
enemy of
God.
If
you in your
old way
are
world and flesh
rotten,
now
listen to it.
Here's been your
problem
all these
years, and it's
time now
to turn.
Get it all
settled over with.
Listen to
it. Here's been your
problem. Reason
I couldn't deliver you
before now.
Let's
just get it right
before God.
Everyone
listening?
I've delivered you
the truth, and
you sit right there
with the feelings
of your flesh
and all your old
religious past teaching.
You sit there
and judge me.
Didn't
you? How
many of you did it?
Come on,
raise your hand.
You
sat there with your
religious past
teaching,
feeling your
flesh, and you judge
me.
And this
is what got you
in trouble.
Oh.
Well,
I'll do it if I
feel like it. You
didn't say that in your heart and
mind, but you
did it with your feeling.
Your fruits proved
it.
Now
you have been
delivered.
And
you're going to move
in it.
You're going to
move in it,
or by
all that's within
me,
I'm going to
mark you with a fire
judgment. You're going to
be removed from
out of God's
kingdom
and maybe
removed out of this
life.
I mean
that. It's been given
to me to do this
thing.
Well,
God's over with.
He's sacrificed
this whole earth.
And all
that's within me,
I want to leave you,
lead you as a
love and a grace
sacrifice. But you're
going to be sacrificed,
your flesh,
one way or
another.
Listen
to it.
You've
said and judged
me
by the feelings
of your flesh,
blinded
by Satan
in
your own way,
not
realizing
that you judge
me none,
but in
judging me,
you
judge God.
It is not
given you
by the true
God
to judge me, nor accuse me in your heart. How many of you listening to that? And I want you to look at it real close. You don't do me any damage at all. But the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, you can speak against God. You can speak against the Father. But once you speak through a minister, you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost, because that's all he has to give you is the power of the Holy Ghost. Once you speak against that and accuse that, you're finished. Once you do it willfully, you do it in ignorance and unbelief, there's a chance for you. This is the reason why now that you're called among to give a chance to move into this thing, because most of you did it in ignorance and unbelief, didn't you? You know the history of my life, you that know me. When I first went into the ministry, every one of those that began to resist me, God began to paralyze them and strike them dead. He said, this is the mark of your ministry I'll later reveal. Now, if you want to have a short life on earth and one in heaven, you just let some accusing and thought rise in your heart against me. I'm just telling you, just like it is. He'll cut you off just like that. That'll be the end of you. He's not playing with this thing. But all that's within me, and he's made me, I'll judge you in love and grace by your actions of faith. And everything that I have given to me of the Lord, I'll impart it to you, won't I? And everything that he gives me, I'll, by all the grace that's given me, I'll turn around and impart it to you. It's required of me. And I can't do a thing with you. You don't come out of that old feeling of your flesh, judging me, sitting there deciding what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. I can't do a thing with you. You're just in trouble. And you're not in trouble with me. You're in trouble with God. I tell you this because of the weakness of your flesh. You'll realize it once you get deliverance, but you're living to where everything in your mind and heart, Satan turns it and causes evil to be thought of it. We had this to happen up in Fort Worth and Dallas, up in the Fort Worth meeting. I got a girl up there and put her on my side to help me sing. You sit right there and in your heart the devil arose because we made bodily contact. That's evil. That is pure evil. That is Satan. And I did it again the next morning. And I did it again the next night. And I declared, you're through. You're not going to move in until God delivers you of this thing. You know why you judge me? You know why you judge me? You judge me by the feelings of your flesh. Oh, yeah. By the feeling of your flesh. You think what you would feel if you had bodily contact. Now, I don't feel what you feel. Reading I'm the heart on you, it takes a mother and a father, a spiritual union right before your eyes of a mother and father to deliver you out of Christ and deliver you into the Father. God's plan, male and female, the woman standing in the stead of the Holy Ghost, the man standing in the stead of the Father. You remember Paul said, we're in Christ's stead. John said, we're in the Father's stead. You'll soon learn, and you're beginning to learn now. When I begin to descend on you with rebuke and plainness of speech, ooh, I am cutting out of you. and laying away, laying open the path for you to not be trapped. I foresee what you will actually do. And in foreseeing that, I descend upon you with judgment and cleanse your heart first so that you won't act. Listen to it now. Listen to it. It is not given you
by the true God
to judge me
or accuse me in your heart,
being weakened by Satan, defiling your flesh,
and
you'll judge wrong
and be destroyed.
Have I been so long with you, and you still don't know God's way? That's true. Don't you know that I obey God? I'm not influenced by your looks or your words.
Doesn't
make any difference what you say or what you look. You can sit and glad me and not believe. You don't even phase me. You know that. But it's one of the first commands he gave me. Be not swayed by the looks of the people. If you do, they'll make you servants of their looks and their unbelief. Oh. Haven't you yet learned? Each time you resist me or fail to obey the things I teach, that you get in trouble, struggle and strive, chastened by God. Some lose their life. How many of you have learned that lesson already? Well, I pray that maybe you'll not, if you that haven't learned it yet, maybe you'll learn it in love and grace. Maybe you can move in the love of God. But every time you have ever disobeyed me, anything I ministered, or every time you resisted me, you've always gotten in trouble, didn't you? You call it bad luck? You call it circumstances? You know what it was, Kathy Mosier? Disobedience, wasn't it? What was it, Sharon Fisher? Gary Fisher? Disobedience. Once the Word of God is delivered to you and you take it, set it as naught, or you don't move into it, Bobby Thomas, you know what happens to you? Spiritual deadness, another kind of trouble, right, Lamar? Trace your life back now. Oh. And let's let this thing be a lesson to us. God put us through this to give us respect for the Word of God. He let you suffer these things where you won't have to suffer them anymore if you'll learn your lesson. Why? Because he hated you? Because he wanted to make something out of me? No, because he loved you. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He absolutely chastened you over the years by your disobedience and not obeying the word of the Lord delivered through me, so that you would learn your lesson and be ready to move into his love. God worketh things according to the pleasure of his good will. He doesn't wait till the time comes and then do it. He started chastening you many years ago because of his love. Some of you, he never would let you sit down where you weren't supposed to be. Oh, you'd go into a church or some kind of group and you'd say, oh, boy, I got it here. I feel a warm fellowship there. And first thing you know, they pitch you out. Or circumstance threw you out. trying to judge you and be hard on? No, he was chastening you. Because what loved you? Preparing you for this moment. If at all he might be able to teach you that it does not pay to resist and disobey the law. And once he teaches you this lesson and you submit to his love by faith, you got it made. You can just move. You thought he hated you, didn't you? All hell breaking loose in your life, in your heart you knew he didn't hate you, but the devil said, somebody is hating me. Must be God judging me. No, he was loving you. He was teaching you to let everything fall to nothing. And he chasing you through me. I deliver you the word of the Lord, and you turn around and quote scripture to me. What does this scripture mean? What does that scripture mean? You got in trouble every time you did. But if you've learned your lesson now, you're ready for the love of God. Man shall live by every word that proceeded forth out of the mouth of God, and I'll just be plain with you. You shall obey those that have rule over you, or you will not move into this kingdom. Why? Because they want to rule over you like the President of the United States and others. No, they watch for your souls. God never puts a rule over a person, a rule over a person that is moving in obedience, unless he moves them in love and grace. And he has them ready with judgment fire to rebuke and slash and knock at your flesh and all works of Satan. Been the pattern of my life, I've taken the word of God and continually waged war upon Satan working in your life because you couldn't do it yourself. Listen to him. Haven't you learned? You can't deceive me. I know your heart. When you don't know yourself, isn't it time for you to obey me? Yet not obey I, but my Father in me. Listen, I don't need any more from now on. I don't need any more of you coming to me and telling me what you feel and what you are and this and that and other. Butch, I just don't want any more of it. You don't have to tell me anything. I'll tell you. Now, that's the way it'll be in the family until you move in order. You don't have to tell me what you are. I know what you are when you don't even know yourself. You don't believe that? You've seen me sit down and read you like a book. Don't tell me anymore, Jerry, what you are. I'll tell you. All right? And when I tell you, it'll be in love and grace, by faith to deliver you. But if you try to tell me with the works of Satan what you feel, then I'll have to bring judgment and rebuke on. Don't tell me what you are. I'll tell you. And when I tell you, turn, repent, get moving in the Lord, and we'll all rejoice. Hey, brother, pray to your heart. You study the life of some of the others that are starting to move to God. You study the life of Peter. I want to say this again. None of you would have lasted until Ananias and Sapphira with Peter. They'd have buried you before you ever got out of the river. Wouldn't they? Ananias and Sapphira didn't do a bad thing compared to some of the things you've done. You wouldn't have lasted till you got out of the river, most of you, with Peter. But why is God being more lenient in you, with you, than he was with those? You want me to tell you why? Because you came out of religious darkness. You never had a chance to know Jesus Christ like those folks knew. All you knew was a false revelation of God and just a little touch of Christ every once in a while. Oh, yes. Many of those things you've got in you you thought were God are Satan. And God having mercy on you and long-suffering did not require judgment for things that were done in ignorance and unbelief. But he called for the person, he said, you will not declare judgment until I say judgment. But you will move in love and grace and rebuke. Why? Because you're chosen to come out of darkness as the first family of God and come into the new creation, into the kingdom of God to lead others. And every time you come out of that darkness, you come one step out of darkness, you can look back and see countless thousands and millions in that same darkness you were in. My Father has chosen by election of grace and those of his family to be formed in earth and in obedience to him. I gladly come gliding and gather them together unto me. Brother Prettier, you're gathering folks together unto you. That's the command. You know, you go around in religion and say, I don't believe you're supposed to gather folks unto yourself. And the very devils that say that, they're gathering folks to them all the time. But God has people that he gathers to. And I gladly complied when he said, gather the family to me. I know. Scared me to death, but let's go. Responsibility scared me to death, but let's go, whatever. Listen to Jesus speak to you so that you'll know the voice of Satan when he tries to speak unto you and through the feelings of your flesh and your carnal mind. Listen at it. Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 10. Take heed to yourself that ye despise none. One of these little ones, neither accuse them. For their angel behold God's face and as a member of his family by obedience in faith. And now, when God begins to choose people, being filled with vainglory and a desire of your flesh to be accepted by God, which is of Satan, a jealousy and a despising begins to rise in your heart towards the people that God chooses. Oh, yes! And you begin to look at them. You may be seated, some of you. You begin to look at them. You say, well, I didn't believe God chose that. That's someone, though. That's a little old young squirt. Oh, that's black. Or that's a big old fat man. Or that's an old man. That's young, too young, too old. Too fat, too skinny, too colored. Not religious enough. Don't do this. Now, I'll tell you why. And I want to be very plain with you. God is just. And he called his gifts and his calling our repentance. And he called every one of you and gave you a chance to be the first election of grace since he led you in this move, but you didn't do it. Say, well, it's God's fault. Okay, blame him. But it wasn't. It was your fault. Every generation of people, he called forth ministry. He's just. But he never moves them into that place and sets them in order unless they come in obedience to him. Oh, yes. Ere the call has went out, you can check history. Down through the ages, and everyone sold herself into religion. You got a group of young folks that started moving in this thing. I mean young people. And they moved where God wanted them. Where you should have moved. I tell you this so you won't stand and accuse them. It was your fault. It wasn't God's fault. You didn't leave your family and home and come sleep on the floor. No. You had to go see about your cow and your bullocks and other thing when I got ready to pull out. Follow the feeling of your flesh, not these. I could run them off and they'd turn around and follow me. Run them off, turn around and follow me. God knows I didn't encourage them to follow me. I didn't want the brats along with me. But you didn't do that. Even some of you that I told you to go with me, you did like John Mark. You went the first step of the journey, and then it got a little bit tough for you, and you went back, didn't you? So instead of despising these that God has chosen to move in as the first family, you ought to be rejoicing. And I'm going to tell you why. Because once one person moves in, one family moves in, then God, through them, goes back and pulls the three generations, the two generations before and the generation in front, pulls the calling of those people right unto them. The mothers and the fathers of the generation past were disobedient. But now through the obedience of a few, what did God say? All shall be saved. So instead of despising them, you ought to be glad that one stood faithful so they could make the way easy for you because of the weakness of your flesh that made you fall away. Oh, but Brother Porter, I would have went with you. All you'd have to do is say, it's not that way. It's like it was with Elijah and Elisha. I had to tell you not to go, drive you back, push you back. But these wouldn't be pushed back. Oh, they'd go back in fear, and I'd look up, and here they were looking at me again. Oh, but all you had to do is tell me to go. That's not the way. That'd have been law, wouldn't it? All I do is call you. The Spirit of God doesn't draw you. I can't make you go. Oh, I'll take you out on a little journey and sort of get you hungry to go, see if the Spirit of grace will draw you. Go back to your wives, cattle, houses, and land, and children, isn't that another one? I can't do anything about it. This group didn't. And now they're here to deliver you into the Father, present you to the Father. A mother, children for the last generation. Y'all know who she was. Just wouldn't move into the spirit of life and the spirit of grace and the spirit of love. Had to flesh around with all of y'all. Cater to your desires. Be one with you. What can I do? Rebuke, reprove, teach, instruct with all longsuffering. But I couldn't command. Not given to me to command you to come into your ministry. Because once I command and you don't obey it to the letter, you're gone. Do you understand this? Now God had brought forth a group of young folks to move you, and young and old too. Fat and skinny, black and white, to move you into the family of God. Now here's another danger view, and that's to go to accusing me. Hey, well, he got out and showed them the way he wanted to. Surely you hadn't got that little sense. But Satan will make you just that ignorant. So I want to sing this to you so you'll have it. Take heed to yourself. Be careful in your mind. That you let none a thought arise against me to accuse me of anything evil by the voice of Satan, the accuser of the brethren. I'm sent by my Father in love and grace to deliver you from the old Adam race and deliver you into his family, form you a part of his age of grace. Also I'm commanded of my Father, if you resist me in your heart or life, to deliver you into his hands, into the hands of the living God. Why is he so hard on this? Listen, God loves the world, not just you and I. And he cannot exalt you in your disobedience against those out there that are waiting to be added to his family. He just don't have time to mess with you. He's got plenty of time to mess with you, but he doesn't have time to mess with you through me. Waste my time. You understand this? Man, there are millions out there ready. You look at the scripture. During a time of restoration, sure, I could rebuke, exhort, teach you, reason with you, counsel with you. God started moving this. He said, cut off all counsel. But once you begin to resist me, I have to carry you all the way down and bring you all the way back up with truth. I can deliver 10 folks while you're doing that. That's the way God looks at it. You'll just have to go into the hands of the living God, and then you'll learn not to resist. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. For him to judge you, the terror you'll have, words can't describe. You better let me lead you in love and grace. Did you know a true minister of God stand between you and God? Oh, yes. I could go over many scriptures, but I have to stand between you and God to keep him from judging you. Did you know this, Julie? Once I deliver you truth, and I see you resisted, he says, let me have it. Okay, you check the scripture. And I have to say, Lord, I give myself again, maybe I didn't do it perfectly. So I give myself as a sacrifice to some way to deliver them. Oh, yes. It's required of you as a minister is required of me. Because as long as he's dealing with you through a minister, he deals with you with love and grace and rebuke and chastening and just smatters of judgment. But once that he moves that minister out of the way, and that minister has to say, here he is, I can't do anything with him. And he takes you over. Love and grace has ended, beloved. When you fall into the hands of a living God, you have never had terror. None of you have ever faced it. There's a few that are not here tonight that have faced it. You don't ever want to face it. A minister stands between you and judgment. You don't believe that. You move into your ministry, you're going to have to stand between people and judgment. You move out of the way and turn your back on them, judgment will fall on them. There's no way in the world to keep it from it. Stood between you and judgment for many years. Getting ready to pay for your raising now, though. You're going to have to stand between somebody else in judgment pretty soon. Oh! No! I've suffered for you for many long years while you serve religion and your flesh and being blinded by the works of Satan in your carnal mind and the feelings of your flesh. And oh, my suffering now ended. Now fulfilled them. Jesus and my Father now living through me. Now speaks his word and you shall obey. Or you will suffer his judgment and fire. Thank you. obedience to the Father. And I'm going to finish the song started out with. Two doctrines, two ministers, three ministers. I don't have a ministry of my own. None of you. No, sir. But I'm given every ministry of God, Paul, Peter, John, Isaiah, through Jesus Christ. This is the inheritance for the kingdom. This is God's plan to build a kingdom. Christ gathered them all together, and he gives them to you. Your position now is that when you went through the throne of regeneration, through the ministry of Paul, you are sealed inside of the body of Christ. You are dead and your life is hid with God in Christ. It's that simple. You lose your identity. You die in Christ, and he holds you in there. You're sealed. No way for you to get out. Well, we look in Revelation, the 14th chapter, in the ministry of John, and we see a group standing on Mount Zion outside of Christ being led by him. 144,000, remember, following the Lamb. How did they get outside him? When we left him with Paul back there, they were inside Christ. Now we see him in John's ministry. Here they are outside, following him. The Father's name, that group of people, the Father's name are written in their foreheads. Very simple, the purpose of Christ, explained by the Apostle Paul, was to lead many sons unto the Father. But now you're going through the throne of regeneration. You've already been through that. You're sealed in the body of Christ, and you're sealed in there by the love of Christ. How are you going to get out? Strongest force in the world sealed you in there. Well, I guess you just have to stay. How did John get them out? Since I don't know and I don't have any ministry, I have to steal John's ministry. Find out how to get you. Oh, yes, you're an order of Jacob. You spiritually steal everything you get by the approval of the Holy Ghost. And the mother of the Holy Ghost teaches you just how to do it. You remember she carried Jacob and had him to steal Esau's birthright? And then he went out to Laban in the world, and the mother of the Holy Ghost just kept working with him, working with him. He got everything old Laban had, stole it in the wisdom of God. I don't mean to go out and steal it dishonestly. Go back and get our father's spokesman for the whole age, Isaiah. He tells you just how to do it. Said if you'll take, come here, Joe. Said if you'll take the sons, you stand in the stead of the father, strap them on your right side. You want to look the scriptures up, you can look them up. And then do something else. You can break them out of Christ into the Father. And Jesus gave the key. He said, my Father's greater than I. Didn't he? So a man stands appointed by God in the stead of the Father. Remember Christ, Paul said we operate in the stead of Christ, in his name and his person, by faith. Man stands as a father in the stead of the Father. But it takes the work of the Holy Ghost. We go way back to Moses and we begin to get an understanding of God's plan. Male and female created he them. So it takes a woman standing as the Holy Ghost, as the mother, and the man standing who, as a father, and both of them working together to break you out of Christ and deliver you into the Father. Oh, Brother Bird, did John do it that way? You read the epistle of John. He used elect ladies, virgins in Christ. Oh, yes. And he delivered them. And they begin to follow Jesus as sons and daughters of God. What is the purpose of the woman minister? Is she standing in the stead of the Holy Ghost? Three basic works begin to work in a woman's life, and I want you to listen to this real closely. The Spirit of life, which is the blood of God. The Spirit of life that's now been perfected has been put in the anointing. And they impart that Spirit of life out to you and just cleanse you. And the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of love. Whoa. I've been operating in this as the mother. Paul operated as the mother minister because I couldn't get mothers to come forth and move into this thing. They'd fill with all their old religious ways, you know, and try to beat them in there. I've been operating as a mother for years. Oh, yeah. Remember when y'all dead in your services and I'd come in there with my old foghorn voice and start singing all at once you'd come alive? Spirit of life. You struggling and striving, I come in there with a spirit of grace and just begin to talk and all at once you'd calm down? Or move you in that weeping in that spirit of love? Sure. Had to operate as a mother. Paul said I was your nursemaid, your mother, your father. Had to. Till God brought forth. But I couldn't do it perfectly. Can't do it by myself. Two agree. One standing in the stead of the Father, the other standing in the stead of the Holy Ghost. Ooh, y'all come on. Ooh, what happens? Ooh, Cheryl as the mother, chosen as the mother. Why? Because she moved into it. She was faithful. The Spirit of life began to come alive in her in the convention in Bar. And I was watching everybody. I didn't know who was going to make the first break. I watched you. One day, you know. That Spirit of life began to move. Even watched Brother Jerry, you know, and he couldn't move in anything. No, I didn't really. Then the Spirit of grace. Many of you moved in the spirit of life and singing, but the spirit of grace never would come. That old religious trying thing in you get to where you couldn't impart anything to anybody except striving, could you? The spirit of love, oh, I got that moving in, that weeping, this and that.